lighting the way with positive energy and love. HRNradio.com.
Welcome to Kindred Spirits show on HealthyLife.net. I am Lynn Andrews, and my show is on the fourth Tuesday of every month at 9 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. As a shaman, author, teacher, and lecturer, I have a very special vision of the people that I invite to join us. I see the beauty and accomplishments of my guests in a sacred way. They are creators of wisdom and knowledge and are not afraid to share their experiences with the world community. And we appreciate their work and celebrate their value to all of us. I would like to mention, first of all, before we get together with Carrie Hummingbird, I'd like to just mention that my mystery school, my shamanic mystery school, is enrolling this month and the first month of the year. Next year, if you can believe it, and that my writing school is also enrolling, and I would like to offer that to you. Both of these endeavors, these schools will give you credentials in a very special way, which I'll go into later, but if you go up on LynnAndrews.com, my website, you can read about them, and I hope you will consider at this point of time in our history, to elevate your consciousness, learn something new, and please think about the importance of this time in history. It is one of the most important times that we've ever, or human beings have ever lived through. So please look up my website, and today we have Carrie Hummingbird, who has written a beautiful book called The Second Wave, the subtitle being Transcending the Human Drama. And so, good morning, Carrie. How are you?
I'm doing quite well. I'm excited to be here with you, Lynn.
Well, I'm so glad, and we welcome you with open arms. And I'm just going to jump right in here because you have so many wonderful things to tell us. First of all, what inspired you to write the book, The Second Wave?
Well, I am a very good listener, and I do as instructed. So this book came about because I heard a very strong message from my higher guidance saying, okay, you're going to write a new book this year. And I said, oh, really? What is that going to be about? And my guidance said, well, that's going to be about the second wave. And I said, well, what the heck is that? Okay, I don't know what that is. And then I was reminded that actually I had seen something about it. I had witnessed a video from Dolores Cannon, who recently departed this physical dimension. But she has done really beautiful work with thousands and thousands of people to help them to access their subconscious minds. And during this exploration, she discovered that that many of them said that they were either part of the first wave or the second wave or the third wave. And so she actually produced a video about this during a lecture, and she has a book called The Three Waves of Volunteers to the Planet. And so the second wave is the wave that I'm involved with, which is, you know, a wave of volunteers to the planet to help ascend human consciousness. And so I was given that message, and then I pretty much channeled a lot of the book. Some of it is my personal experience that was leveraged to make a point and to explain things. And but the experience was really channeling the text, which was my first time doing that.
I see. And for our listeners, excuse me, I see that that would inspire you. And tell me your training in this aspect of the world. spiritually. What has been your background? Could you share that with you?
Absolutely.
With me. Can you please tell you about you? Please tell people just quickly about why you're interested in transcending the human drama within your own life.
I've experienced a lot of drama.
yes.
Self-created.
drama creates heat. And it's heat that we need to provide the landscape for transformation.
I created a lot of heat, that's for sure.
Tell us three ways that you have created heat. Three ways.
Three ways I've created heat. Well, I've created heat by practicing what I call my spider medicine. I realized at some point I had really good spider medicine, which is being able to spin a good web around myself of a story with my thoughts and my words and make it come true. As I'm a manifester by design. So I used to spin a lot of webs in psychotherapy offices with powerful emotions, talking about how awful everybody was and everything was in my life and how bad I felt. And I spun a lot of webs for years, decades doing that. And then I sort of realized,
interrupt just for a second.
Yeah, go ahead.
Did you come out of abuse in your early life?
I did. I had some early traumas. I had some initial trauma in my early years. Lost my natural father. He was my mom left him because he was there was a fear he would sexually molest me, and he had was acting in a way that was making that seem like a likelihood. And so lost him early when I was one, and then from 2 to 5, I had a very violent, abusive, alcoholic stepfather. And so that was my mom's second marriage, and that didn't work out so well. So, but then I had a really wonderful father who was just a beautiful, beautiful soul, beautiful, great teacher. I believe a beautiful ascended master, and taught me a lot in my life from the time I was 5 until he passed away a couple years ago. So,
So let me interrupt again. Forgive me. We just have so little time, and I want people to know about you. And I just wanted to mention to you and my audience that if you come out of abuse, which I think about 93% of the world does, one kind of abuse or another, that you are shaped in your life to be a puer or puella eternus, which means in Latin the eternal child. Because what happens if you're abused early on, you never have a childhood. You have to be very careful. You have to walk on eggshells to get through your life without the abuse coming at you. Mm-hmm. So as a result of that, your later life is very different. You don't realize it, I don't think, as you go along, but you tend to pick difficult situations, maybe abusive, and you sabotage yourself in different ways. I just wanted to mention that. I'm not trying to move us off the very, very interesting book that Carrie has written, but I just want you to remember that.
It's true.
Yeah,
it's true. I spent a lot of my time sabotaging myself until I finally had had enough of that, and I said no more. And I started the path of healing, you know, and really going outside the system and going outside of what everybody else told me I should be doing and how I was supposed to be. And I started finding my own way, and I started working with my own inner guide to find what was true for me.
You know, it's interesting. It's why I started my schools, because I've written 21 books, and I've been on book tour half my life. And everywhere I would go in the world, I would work with people at the same time in a kind of counseling way. And I found that I swear 93% of the world at least comes out of abuse. So what happens when you don't heal that, you create a world around you that is also abusive. So your book is talking about kind of a second wave of consciousness. And when did you realize that you were a messenger for higher consciousness?
I had a vision. So I had met a teacher, and I had started on the shamanic path. I started training in how to do drum journey and things like that, and I had a healing session, which was really profound, that showed me things I didn't even know were possible. And right about that time, I had a vision in a drum journey that I did for myself, where I was trying to manifest my new house, like, you know, okay, I'm going to get this house. And so I was imagining myself in it and, you know, things like that. And at the end of the drum journey, I had a profound moment of spirit sending me a message back. And, like, I wasn't making this happen. And it was I was in the house in the vision looking out the kitchen window, and I saw a hummingbird rise up with rainbow light in the back kitchen window. And the whole time stopped, and everything expanded, and there was this huge sense of awe. And I just went, wow, you know, like, that's the most amazing thing ever. And then immediately the phone rang in this third dimension reality, and it was my realtor saying, okay, the house is yours. They want to know what you want to offer for it.
Oh.
Like, wow, you know, so I said, oh, that's very important. I'm going to find out what that means. And in fact, when I read the descriptions and I felt into it about hummingbird, I'm like, that is me. I am a messenger. I do have hope. There is this eternal hope inside of me, even if things are terrible. There's like this hope inside of me that just won't die. That's like, it can be better. I know it can. We can make this better. Love is possible. Anything is possible. And I was like, well, that's me. Anything is possible.
Well, isn't that fabulous?
So cool.
You mentioned something, having Earth amnesia. What are some of the highlights from your journey to remember?
Earth amnesia to me just meant that I thought I really bought it. You know, I really bought in, and I really thought, oh, wow, you are this person, you know, Carrie Renee Lonsby. You, this is who you are, you know, and I believed it all. I thought it was true, and I believed this was my mother, and this was the way I was supposed to act, and this is my conditioning, and I believed all of it. And then I met this woman you interviewed on your show. I met this woman, Heather Ashimara. And I started realizing some things. She took me across the firewalk, and I realized, wait a second, if fire doesn't burn all the time, then nothing I believe is really true. Like, all of it is suspect now. Like, I could change my mind about just about anything if I can change my mind about the fact that fire burns. So it was powerful for me when I started realizing that my mind had been conditioned to believe a lot of things based on my mother's belief system and the various fathers that I had. So I started reclaiming my power from that. But I don't think that I really knew that I was in amnesia, because I think when you're in amnesia, that's the point. You don't know you are. You think that you know what you're doing because you're following your conditioning. But
right.
At some point, it wasn't working for me. And so I think the telltale signs were drinking a bottle of wine a night by yourself. Every day. That's a telltale sign that it's not working for you. You know, taking a bunch of pills to be happy, that's a telltale sign it's not working. Feeling anxious, your jaw is clenched, you're grinding your teeth at night. You can't sit through a stoplight because you've got to count the whole time in order to keep your sanity while the light changes. That's a sign. You know, these are all signs that things aren't working out the way for your highest good, and something needs to change.
How does someone know if they're a member of the second wave, for one thing, and then you talk about the prophecy of the eagle and the condor. How do you see that coming about in practical terms?
Well, so how does somebody know that they're a member of the second wave? I think if your life has been particularly challenging and you've been born into a situation where maybe you felt like you had to be the adult as the child, that's a really good sign, you know, that you're probably a second wave member, because some part of you is really old and it knows better, you know, than whatever was going on. And so that's a good sign. But I actually offer a meditation to people to go into their heart. But you can go into your divine spark and just ask that question, you know, am I part of the second wave? And you'll get a good answer. But also in terms of the eagle and the condor, I love that concept. It really makes sense to me. It's like, I think we're doing it right now in our own lives. We're doing it in our own selves. We're blending this fabulous mind, this wonderful mind that's gotten to think so clearly and all these logical things, you know, from the Western civilization with this beautiful heart. You know, now we have to open our hearts back up and combine it with the mind. So it's this journey of, you know, blending the masculine and the feminine and blending the mind and the heart and blending cultures and belief systems and, you know, really like letting go of what you think you know in order for a greater truth. And that is blending all of these capabilities into one refined, aligned self. And I feel like it's also blending like the eagle self with the soul self. So I think there's multiple layers to that. That concept that I'm experiencing in my own practical journey.
Well, that's wonderful. The condor, what does the condor symbolize to you?
I feel like the condor symbolizes the higher truth of the heart. Like the eagle flies so high and it has that big perspective, the eagle vision, and that's logic to me, the mind's higher side. But I feel like the condor is also about community. I know that I have a relative of the condor that lives in my neighborhood called the vulture. And the thing about vultures is that they clean up negative energy, right? They collaborate as community and they say, oh, there's this carcass here. There's a big feast. You know, we need to clean this up. We need to be part of the transformation of this into something productive. So, and if their family can't finish the whole meal, they invite other families. They're like, come join us in the feast. You know, it's very collaborative. It's cooperative. It's being part of the bigger picture and being part of the bigger story happening on the planet. Whereas I feel like the eagle can be a little bit more, focused, you know, it's not so broad spectrum. It's more focused.
And, yeah, that's very interesting. For someone who wants to deepen relationship with Earth consciousness, what do you recommend?
Well, I recommend going and being in nature and getting quiet and, you know, taking a walk. Or if your mind is really busy like mine was, you know, go jog for 10 miles and get quiet. Get the runner's high and then sit down and listen for messages. You know, whatever it takes to get quiet and really connect and take your, you know, take your shoes off, walk barefoot, put your back to a tree, deep breaths in nature, listen, use your senses, and just mostly just try to stop thinking or let the thoughts go or get into, you know, yourself into an expanded state where you can feel the earth and do it regularly enough that you can have a conversation with the earth.
Yes. For someone who, well, let me start again. You mentioned that your journey of remembrance included studying with unbroken lineages of earth medicine wisdom. What does that mean?
To me, that's really important because, to me, I feel we've lost touch with our ancestors. I know for me, I had no clue that, you know, that there was an ancestral line that was watching out for me, that was even embodying me. I had no clue that my DNA held my ancestors' truth. That idea that we're all just sort of separate from we're all independent in this Western culture and we just spring up out of somebody and then we just wander off and do whatever we want. You know, like, that's really different.
I have to interrupt you, honey. We'll be right back after station identification.
Give yourself some love with our self-care programs at hrnradio.com.
We are back with Carrie Hummingbird, and she's written a wonderful book called The Second Wave. And I'd like to talk about one thing. You have a chapter in your book, Carrie, and it's called Charting the Course Out of Madness. Can you talk about that for a moment?
I can. And if I could just back up for just 1 second and just answer the question before about why
okay.
it's important with the unbroken lineages, is just because there is a continuity of teaching that happens when you're learning from your parents and your grandparents and your great-grandparents, and you're learning all of this and connection to the earth, and then you actually learn in this paradigm with the unbroken lineages, they learn how to talk to their ancestors beyond the veil. So then there's lots of wisdom that can be gotten from the ancestors, and I think that's something that's been lost in a lot of Western culture. So when we study with lineages that are unbroken, they give us the benefit of that frequency of what life is like when it's all connected. And then we can access it for ourselves. We can rebuild the energetic lines, like with our ancestors, and welcome it. We can learn to welcome that that support and get to a place where your ancestors are really at your back and you feel it. And that's been my journey of reconnection myself. So that's why I think it's really important to get help from people who never got sort of lost out there in a little island of one. So,
You know, there's a great power in the ancestral DNA in everyone's body. And, you know, it's a very, I don't know if you've studied this, I'm sure you have, Carrie, but you know that if you, let's just say that you are a child of a survivor of Auschwitz, one of the Hitler camps during the war, the Second World War. If when a child is born from someone that has experienced such travail, such horror, your DNA becomes shaped differently. I don't know if I'm putting this right, but it changes your genetic.
It does.
And it, you know, that genetic can cause, you know, for instance, terrible anger that people go into and they don't even know where it's coming from. And if you come from a family that has had some kind of huge trauma, you need to look at that and find it in your DNA so that you can deal with it. What do you say about that subject?
Oh, I agree. And the best way to deal with it is to become aware. And, you know, your inner awareness is, like, really important. And I've learned that by reconnecting with my ancestors, I can actually solicit their help. Like, I can go and say, hey, I've noticed this pattern, and I bet it's having to do with somebody in the ancestry, and so I would love help in transitioning this to something that's more productive for me in this time frame, because right now in my life, this pattern doesn't really suit me very well. So I want to honor my ancestor that had the pattern for whatever reason. It was there for protection or for support, and now it's not working out so well because things have changed. So it's kind of like really honoring our ancestors and asking for support, you know, to really help us to be free of things that don't serve us anymore. So I think it's been a beautiful blessing in my life to realize that a lot of what I experience, I'm like my walking ancestry, you know, like
yeah.
my being is walking.
Well, we all
ancestry.
Are. The problem
yeah.
is that we don't know how to access that memory, you know.
Yeah, and that's what we can learn to do, right? I mean, that's working with, we can reactivate the remembrance of how to do that, and we can even create new, innovative, fun ways of doing it with using our creativity. We're unlimited.
Give us one way we can do that.
Well, for example, when I studied with Heather Ashimara, I learned this technique of going into this sacred area called the sanctuary, which is like a fifth dimensional space for healing, and then asking my ancestors, saying, okay, this pattern of anger, for example, that I've been experiencing, and this is the frequency of it, I'm feeling it right now in my body, so come into the center, whatever ancestor would like to support me, like, where did this get started? And just wait, and then that ancestor actually walks right into the center of the sanctuary, you know, and you can have a conversation, and like, wow, okay. And so when it's guided by somebody who's sort of familiar with this process, then you can get a sense of how it works for yourself, and then you can do it for yourself. So that these are really beautiful teachings that we could all be sharing with each other. And I'm sure there's way more ways than that, but that's just one way that I've learned to have a conversation and clear the energy.
That's wonderful. What part of the country are you in, Carrie?
Right now I'm in Austin, Texas.
Oh, boy, it's cold in Austin.
It is cold.
Oh, my God, it really cold. One of the coldest places in the country yesterday. And
yes.
Is that where you live?
Well, I live here now because I moved here years ago. We used to live in the Silicon Valley and had our children there. And then we decided to move to Texas to be closer to my parents who lived here. And, you know, that worked out for a little while. The idea was I was supposed to get myself together because I had been doing a lot of volunteering and things in addition to raising children, and I was a little burned out. And I was supposed to be getting myself together and, you know, more attractive for my my partner at that time. And what ended up happening was I went a little bit crazy. So you were talking about charting the course out of madness. And, you know, actually, I've been reading your book, Jaguar Woman, and I'm, like, really loving that book because you talk about the four feminines, the four divine feminine energies, and the axis that I was on has been the rainbow child, right, the rainbow woman, the rainbow energy on the east with the crazy woman on the west, and that definitely has been my journey so far. Living in that paradigm of the balance of the two. So, charting the course out of madness. I went a little mad, you know. I went a little crazy. There was a lot of things I didn't speak. I ignored a lot of shadow. I ignored a lot of feelings. I ignored a lot of things that made me angry. And I stuffed it all for the first part of my life. And then I sort of created this mask. It felt like a mask I was wearing, like this mask of untruth and like the false happiness and false pleaser. And that eventually cracked. And I felt so horrible inside of myself that I didn't even want to live anymore. So when I finally walked out of that relationship, you know, 2 decades of psychotherapy didn't fix it, pills didn't fix it, nothing fixed it, I just had to leave. And I had to stop trying to fix myself, essentially. And I had to tell the truth. Really had to tell the truth.
Yes, it's so very difficult because, you know, coming out of abuse, it's when you walk down that trail by yourself, you know, you're trying to understand and fix yourself. It really helps to have someone who's walked that trail before you. We'll be back in 1 minute with station identification. Carrie, we'll be right back.
You're listening to HealthyLife.net, the radio network that brings positive talk with positive change to make your world a little better.
Carrie, you mentioned that your journey of remembrance included studying with unbroken lineages of Earth medicine wisdom. Can I just briefly ask you what you mean by that?
Well, so I actually studied with the Four Winds Society, with the school of Alberto Villaldo, but it's based in Andean shamanism, and which is the Caro shamans of Peru. And they're mountain people, and they're like rainbow people, and they're really just beautiful, beautiful heart-centered people. And that was my primary lineage. And when I
did
do my healing,
did you go to Peru?
I did. Yeah, I've gone to Peru, and they come to us too. Like when the students do the training, they actually show up and they're there, they're present. Gotten lots of healings from them, group despacho, but also individual personal healings, and also gone to Peru and visited.
It's such a beautiful country, isn't it?
Yes, it's gorgeous, and I want to do more. Like, I actually feel like I'm ready for a mentor now. You know, it's been like an apprentice or something. And so I'm waiting for that opportunity to show up for me. But I really love the medicine. I really love their teachings. And what I do is I call on them all the time. You know, every day when I open sacred space, I ask for the support of the lineage to support me in connecting my own truth and back to my ancestors and the remembrance of the wisdom that's already in my DNA, that's already here for me, that they are reactivating it because they never forgot. They kept the wisdom alive. So that's really the difference for me, is that it's not that anybody doesn't have the wisdom or can't tap into it. I believe we all can. But the people who've maintained that wisdom through generation after generation after generation, and it never got lost, that is very helpful for remembering it, you know, for people whose generations maybe they didn't have beliefs for a while, or they didn't practice, or they didn't, you know, they didn't know anything about their ancestors. Like, we've had a broken chain. So it's really helpful, these lineages, and I would include, you know, any lineage where they're still practicing their ways and teaching their kids. The Wheat Call are a really good example of that, too.
I hate to keep interrupting you. Forgive me. It's just because of the time. I think it is a good thing to remember that you're of this time and of this soil, and that you chose, whether you believe that or not, is not the point. But you chose to come back here to learn something, whatever that is for you, a lot of what you've been talking about. And I think that sometimes people look so outside of themselves for support, for divinity. And when you're on this soil, meaning the Western world, you begin to realize, I think, that this God-goddess-like prime mover, exquisite being of light, the Great Spirit, is really inside of us. And that Mother Earth here will help you to build an altar, just like you learned in Peru. But the altar that you would build here is different, only because you're on Mother Earth, just like you are in any other country in the world, but she speaks a different language wherever you tune into her. What do you think about that?
I think that's very true, and I think that for me, what's happened through working with these lineages that are unbroken is that it's helped me to remember myself, oh, that's how it works. Okay, yeah, that's right. I remember this. And it's helped me to access my personal lineage. Like, I have Cherokee heritage. I just didn't have, you know, access to it in the third dimension because of she changed her name because she could pass for white. So I've reconnected my lineage, you know, through the land, through visiting the Smoky Mountains and just being in the space, being in the energy there, and being in, you know, in meditation, you know, within myself and the desire to connect to my ancestors. And I think we all can do that for sure. And we can start remembering things.
Well, you can. And it also helps, I think, all of these offers that Ancestry.com and those programs, they're incredibly helpful because, yes, the sacred lineage is very important, but that's outside of you. If you go into your own lineage, you begin to see the sacred lineages from all through the cosmos are actually coming through you. It's your lineage and the ones that have chosen you. Do you see the difference? How would you describe that?
Well, I think what you're speaking to is that our lineages that are coming directly through us are primary. And And then others are willing to help, right? So they're, of course, when I open sacred space, I'm practicing with a mesa, so I feel it's respectful to invite, you know, the caro to assist in my healings, because that's their medicine. That's their medicine path. I'm just sort of an adoptee, you know, like I'm adopted, you know. So, and I'm also adopted, right? Isn't it funny? Like in my own life, I'm adopted. So I'm very familiar with belonging, and sometimes belonging to a family that adopted you, you kind of have a sense of belonging more there than you do in other places, too. So I'm also aware of that experience of feeling a little bit more like my dad was my closest parent, but he was my stepdad. So I think there's also that truth. So I think we're negotiating a lot of space right now, even in this little conversation. There's a lot to dig into for each person to see, well, what's your truth in relation to your family and your ancestry and this earth and the place where you live, which may not be the place that your ancestors lived. You could have been transplanted from Africa or someplace else. So what's your truth with the land you're connecting with?
Yeah, it's very, it's a fascinating subject. And I think if you begin to realize that genetics, through the process of trauma experience, for instance, can alter your genetics, but you can also bring that anger, say, as an example, back into a peaceful experience, that you can change pain into love. And I think that's what we're all learning. We're all learning from every place in the world, that you really are responsible for your own reality. And we, again, have to leave for a moment for station identification. We'll be right back, Terry.
Timeless information for your self-care and health. HRNradio.com.
Thank you, Terry Hummingbird, for being with us. You've written a wonderful book called The Second Wave. And the book talks about having a courageous heart. Can you tell us more about what you mean by that?
Well, what it means to me is once you wake up, and I think we wake up a lot, right, lots of realizations, but at a certain point, you realize that maybe people that are causing you pain in your life, that they don't have the same realizations you've had, and they don't understand. And when your heart's really open, it can hurt when somebody sort of acts in a way that is hurtful. And so having a courageous heart, to me, means having that compassion and that higher level awareness, that ego condor big vision awareness, like all the way down in your heart, to let yourself keep it open, even through painful things, to not shut it down, not, you know, build a wall, but to be open with the discomfort of, yeah, that really hurts, and I'm going to keep my heart open and vulnerable through this exchange that I'm having with this person. So it's, that's a really big act of courage, to keep your heart open during a painful thing.
Oh, yes. And you also lead something called Butterfly Circle. What is that, and why is the Mariposa your guide for this work that you do with others?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I love Mariposa Butterfly. She's the best at transformation, isn't she?
Yeah.
He goes from a caterpillar into a cocoon and comes out a butterfly. That's kind of a miracle. So I feel like that's what we're doing right now, right, Lynn? We're becoming butterflies on the planet. So that's what we do in this group. So I teach a bunch of tools and skills and perspective shifts that have helped me on my journey of completely reinventing myself. And I share that with people who are interested in a new reality for themselves, one that they create, one that's built on that idea of destiny. You know, the destiny book is a blank book. You get to write your story in that book. And I'm down with that. I love that idea. So that's what we do in our butterfly circle is go through the process and learn the tools of how to do that.
That's absolutely wonderful. Can you tell us one tool that you use with your people?
Well, Yes, it's an introductory tool, and I'm going to gift it to everybody in the audience here. It's called the Love Mastery Game. So it's an oracle game, and if you get a 12-sided die, you can play it like a board game. You can actually roll the dice, which I love. And, you know, basically what it brings in are your major allies on this path. So some major allies would be like your ancestors, the sun, the moon, the stars, the elements, the directions, with some minor allies that I use on my path, tobacco, ayahuasca, eagle and condor, you know, deer, jaguar, you know, these basic guides that are really helpful for the earth journey. And it blends that with being states that we all are working to master. So being open and curious, being grateful, being aware, these are all things we're working on. And it blends all that with mastery principles. So trusting and believing, receiving, integrating and practicing, healing and rejuvenating, these are all like mastery principles. So you can play the game. You can bring, you know, bring to the game your inquiry and then open space, open sacred space, and roll the die and fill out your little card. And then you can get enough information that you can really get a good sense of, okay, what is this challenge really about for me right now? What am I working at mastering? And what allies want to support me in that inquiry? So it's kind of fun because it's you might learn some unexpected things.
Oh, that's fabulous. Is this a game that you can buy anywhere?
Well, it's free. So I'm going to eventually make it into something that is more professional and refined. But for now, just to get it out there really quickly and for people to have fun with this game, it's a download. So you can go to my website, KerriHummingbird.com. That's K-E-R-R-I, Hummingbird.com/play. And you'll get... A series of five emails a day for 5 days that run through the game and give you all the printouts. You can print them out yourself. You'd have to go buy yourself a little, you know, 12-sided die if you want to use a die. But it's a fun game, and you can get it immediately.
Oh, I think that's fabulous, and people will love that. What is the most important message that you can leave my audience with?
Well, a message I got from my guide, White Eagle, when I was asking, well, you want me to go out and tell everybody that everybody's right at the same time? It's like, yeah. I said, well, how am I going to do that? Because no one's going to believe me, because everybody thinks there's one right way and everybody has to come along. He says, well,
yeah.
You know, look at your hand. Look at your thumb. I said, oh, there's a thumbprint. He says, yes, there's a thumbprint. That is a unique design. No thumbprint like anybody else's thumbprint ever was, ever will be again. This is the Kerri Hummingbird thumbprint. And everybody has their own thumbprint. That proves right on your body that you are a unique design. And so you can think of yourself as walking around in a little thumbprint suit. And that thumbprint suit has understandings from your ancestors. It has your life's experiences. It has your past lives. And it has little glasses that you look through, like a little window, which they call the assemblage point window, that you see the world through. So you only see a slice of the world, and you only operate at one little frequency of the rainbow. That's your experience. So that's how you can tell people that everybody's experiencing exactly what they're supposed to be experiencing. And nobody's Venn diagram, you know, like those Venn diagrams with the circles that overlap? Like, mm-hmm. Nobody's overlapped completely. Everybody's got some little sliver that's unique. So, therefore, don't expect the overlap. Like, instead, try to be delighted in the difference. Try to find some delight in the fact that we each miraculously get to live in a world that allows us to each be unique and perceive in unique ways while simultaneously existing, and the universe somehow synchronizes us all together at key important moments for discoveries. Isn't that incredible? Like, start getting excited about how fascinating that is, that it all happens that way. How amazing. Right?
It is. Yeah, it's very exciting and beautifully explained. You have been having a lot of fun, I would imagine, with this Oracle game. And you were talking about a free gift. Was that the Oracle game that you were talking about?
Yes, this is the free gift. So they can download it for free right now if they want and start playing today.
And where can people connect with you?
Well, they can connect with me at my website, KerriHummingbird.com, K-E-R-R-I, Hummingbird.com. And I offer a free discovery session, and there's an easy tool to book a session on the website. And I also have a show, which I wanted to invite you to. It's called Soul Nectar Show, and I've been doing it for 3 years now, and I've gotten to interview some awesome people like Heather Ashmara, and I think if people are interested in more things to listen to, I do a weekly broadcast, and we have a lot of fun. We explore all kinds of topics on the show because I'm really interested in people's thumbprint journeys.
That is. It's very interesting because we are so extraordinarily individual, and yet we're all part of the same mystery. It's quite something. But I, your website is what? Can you tell everybody, Kerri, again?
Yes. It's www.kerrihummingbird.com.
That's wonderful. And Kerri, thank you so much for, you know, being on the show. And Heather is a wonderful friend of mine. And you all are doing beautiful, beautiful things. Everybody, please read Kerri's book, The Second Wave, Transcending the Human Drama, which heaven knows we are living in. So happy chaos to you, Kerri.
Happy chaos and, to you.
Oh, thank you so much, and happy holiday and all the other wonderful things that are going on in the world. As far as I'm concerned, and I think you too, Kerri, this really is a time of celebration.
Yes.
We live in the most magnificent world, and thank God that we all live here where so many things are possible for the understanding of the firstness of woman. And I send you so much love, Kerri, and blessings, and we will talk soon, I hope.
Love and blessings to you, Lynn.